This is Alan Granger, Chair of the Design Review Board, and I'm calling the meeting to order. I would just recognize that we do have a quorum today. And I'm first of all asking whether anyone has any issues with any of the items on the agenda that they need to recuse themselves over.
No.
Okay, great. No, that was no from me too. And so the next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes. We made comments last week on the September 21st, and they were revised. And then we also got the meetings of the October minutes of the October 5th meeting. Did anyone have any comments or changes? I read through them and I was happy signing both of these.
I have a one question. James, did you put in that thing about the where was it located? Page.
Under the last paragraph.
Are you talking about the September 21st
one? Mr. DePue gave a recap of previous discussions regarding overlap of citizen commission work, i.e. have Historic Preservation Commission look over project documents and share their perspective.
Sounds good. Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. Unless there's any other comments, could I have a motion to approve the minutes for both of these meetings?
I motion we approve.
Yeah. Okay. Second?
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Do you... There you go. Okay, so... I guess the other question I had was... do we have staff that are going to join us before the pre-app, or have no staff being assigned to this?
There's no staff assigned, and there will not be any staff for this afternoon.
Okay.
Is that because it's a pre?
I think it is.
Okay. Doesn't this project look like is it more developed than a pre in your mind? From the drawings?
It does, but it is great that they've come in the same way that they came in about that Roland Bay project.
Yeah, no, I agree. With actually a lot of meaty...
With some good information.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. So, Chuck, would you mind telling Russ that we're ready for him?
Sure.
Thank you.
Good.
Hi. Everybody.
Thanks. Right time to be there.
Yes, it was beautiful. Beautiful meeting.
Hey, Russ.
Hi, Alan.
How are you doing?
Good.
I'm sorry, I can't remember.
Brandon. He's a potential design review board member.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Do you want to sign here?
Yeah.
You guys need some people now?
We do. We need two. A few good men. And
Brandon
woman.
Would be great.
No, Brandon would definitely be.
Another
one.
Give it some thought.
Yeah.
He just needs a good afternoon.
Yeah.
A fortnight.
And Russ is a great supporter of the design review book. So
yeah. That'd be a nice
you
gesture.
You would have no problem with his approval.
That's right. Although, well, maybe we should get through the project.
That might be a condition. That might be a condition of approval.
There we go. So, I was hoping to get two of these up, but.
So this is for some reason I had a hard time printing from your Dropbox, but
move it up.
I realize now that now I see the size of the
yeah
animals.
The size.
I should have guessed that.
So you didn't print.
Well, I did print, but I got like an 8.5 by 11 size.
Yeah,
oh, right. I'm gone.
Yeah,
the needle.
And I wanted to send that to you because the city.
Oh, I looked through everything, but I just didn't.
But the city didn't send it to you, did they?
No.
No, but I think that's because it's a pre-app.
Okay.
But
I thought you should at least have a look at it.
Oh, yeah,
no,
it was great.
No,
yeah.
No,
it was perfect. Helps us a lot.
Yeah, I don't know if it was my computer, but it wasn't doing a sheet per. I mean, it ran over on sheets, but I could print it out and I could see it and stuff. So
yeah.
Okay.
So we have our pre-app tomorrow.
All right. So then we'll get a staff person assigned.
Scott Spear is already assigned.
Yeah, he's already been assigned.
Scott?
Scott Spear,
who
was the same planner as for the Rolling Bay project.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, Montessori Country School, is everybody familiar where it's located?
Could you just remind me?
Okay, Battle Point Park.
Okay, yeah, I know where it is.
And so it's right across from the entry to Battle
Point. Okay, got it.
And it's been a school for 42 years, I think it is now, on the island. And it's currently has a CUP, conditional use permit, and it's in a residential house that was converted and then added on. There's three classrooms currently in the existing school building. And then they also took over Voyager School, which is on High School Road. And so the idea is to move that the elementary program from Voyager over to this campus. Right now they're kind of tearing their hair out going between the schools. So, and that property will be sold. Right now, financially, it's a real stretch for them, so they'll need to sell that property. And then they've acquired two adjacent parcels to the existing parcel. Let me see, is this okay? I don't know if you can see. This is the existing school right here. And so, in order to get to modify the conditional use permit, they needed to acquire more property. We looked at the south property, and there's a big house on that property and a barn, and it seemed ideal, but then the owner balked at the last minute on selling that piece of property. But the for a conditional use permit, you have to have 50% of the lot coverage required. So it's 7.5%, not 15%, that would be typical in an R2 zone. So they acquired property here, which is east of the existing property, and simple little rectangle of property just north of the existing property.
So, Russ, I was just interested. What's the funny little blip out of the, like the...
In the middle?
Flag of a mailbox.
Oh. This is creative survey work with Adam and Goldsworthy. So these people had a lot of demands when they sold this parcel. They wanted to be able to get to and maintain a reserve area for their septic system.
Oh.
So this is the way they get to it. They also have an easement cutting across. I wish I was more involved with those negotiations. But what we do have, though, just FYI, is an easement to the beach, and that would be for hopefully taking care of at least some of the stormwater, because we're going to have to deal with a lot of obviously impervious surface.
So is that Manzanita? Does that go
up to Manzanita? Right here.
How does that house access? Is there a driveway?
There's several houses down here, right at the bottom of Arrow Point.
I think I saw that sign.
There's a bunch of mailboxes there.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
So there's
okay.
Several houses access there. So, yeah. So then, our proposal is to add. We have four buildings. Now we show five, and it's potentially five, but it looks like we're gonna this is gonna evolve a little bit as of this morning to possibly not have this building. But and this is a future classroom, so existing classroom building, adding two pre-primary classroom buildings, a office reception multi-purpose building, and two elementary classrooms here with a future classroom proposed here as an elementary classroom. And this was potentially an art music building, but those functions might happen in here. So, right now, we're showing three access points on Arrow Point. Not sure if that's going to fly, so we have an alternate way to look at that. With two.
Yeah.
There's currently two, an in and out circle, but we're looking at now an in and an in and out. There's need for drop-off at the pre-primary program and also at the elementary program, but they happen at different times. So circle drop-off and then circle drop-off with parking in to the north for staff.
Do they use buses?
No, they don't.
It's all just parents dropping children.
It's all just parents dropping.
And what are the elementary grades up to?
Up to sixth grade.
Mm, okay.
And then the attrition rate, because of going to places like Hyla.
Sure.
That's why there's this future classroom may handle 1 through 3. So 1 through 3, 4 through 6, and then as they expand, they feel like they could possibly have another 1 through 3. Classroom.
How do you determine your parking count?
So we actually, Brandon, you, it was 1 per 50
student,
per student.
Yeah, this is the city's code, yeah. And then 1 per employee.
And 1 per employee. So we actually have more than what's required because we're going off of what the school feels they need. The pre-primary, actually the little kids, the parents actually stay at the school, so they need a place to park and stay for, I think it's 3 hours in the morning.
And what's the material of the parking? What's the material? Is it gravel?
We would love it to be gravel.
Yeah.
And if we can keep this under 10,000 square feet, it could be gravel, but... So we're hoping it's gravel.
Right.
It's gravel now.
You mean they built the structures under 10,000 feet? Or
no, the
surface?
The drive and parking surface.
This is the city.
So according to Brown, it's
allowed to be gravel if it's under 10,000 and a certain grade.
Under 5% grade.
And is that part of what creates the stormwater, is that surface area?
Yes.
Because that's all that
impervious.
But they'll consider gravel the same as pavement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do consider it,
yeah.
So when they say one, they're thinking of public schools, 1 parking space per 50. I mean, because I think it's different in a private school. They're expecting buses to come there. Do you know anything about that?
That's just what our Let's see. So we're going by what the school, the school's pretty sure they know just how many they need.
And is there any playground in that, or?
There'll be a play area here.
Yeah.
There's quite a few trees. These dark dots are trees. We're going to try to save as many as we can, especially the significant trees, but we're obviously going to lose some. This north site was cleared with the excuse there was root rot.
By the previous owner.
Right.
So the whole, that's quite empty then?
It's second growth.
So there's alders and
small ferns.
I wonder if they're just before the meeting. I was trying to remember that. It didn't, maybe it's just because everything's so green there. I didn't notice.
Yeah, it's still pretty dense, but it's really small trees.
I think it was about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And it was just the firs they took out. So, but I don't believe there's, there may be some big maples down in this area here, but for the most part.
And so what's that distance off the road? So if you were sort of looking at the trees that do stay, how far is it to the...
The depth to here?
Where's the main road? How far is it from there to the parking lot?
We have a 25-foot buffer.
Okay. All right.
Is that a viewport?
Full screen.
So this is Kia Macau, landscape architect. So, and Kia, she's seen the drawings, but because she's been so busy, she hasn't been involved with the landscape work yet.
Can I ask a general question? Is this a large Montessori facility?
Large in...
Compared to other Montessoris?
We visited three different schools in Seattle and Portland, and this is about the same size.
And is there something in their philosophy that determines the layout you have? Because the first thing that struck me about this when I looked at it, there's no concept of a corridor. There's no central obvious space to me. And it seemed like it's a large enough school that things would have be around a core area, and I don't...
An internal core area, or
that's kind of it, but to me it seemed like it would be more, more larger. And that see the building, in a way you have that core, and then there's this building, there's a kind of an area of rubble below it that doesn't tie it together. So I was wondering, do they have a concept of having maybe a large courtyard and things face off of it, something like wood or something like that? I don't see that in this plan.
So the pre-primary, it's really kids. Its own thing. Okay. There's the little kids, the toddlers.
Yeah.
That is.
So they try to separate it out?
Yes.
Okay.
And so the idea is that this court, they've got a small courtyard here. Okay. So they do combine sometimes lunchtime, but pick up and drop off. And so we have this area. The play area is all back in here. There's a little bit of mixing. The elementary program would have their play area here, and the little kids over here, which is existing. And then the transition is here with the multi-purpose. This will serve as a gathering place for art, music, and potentially lunches one day a week, where some of the elementary will have lunch with the older afternoon kids, the kindergartners from here. So you start to combine here, mm-hmm. and then this is seen as the elementary area here. So we transition to elementary.
So in terms of the really little kids in the traffic flow, are they sort of contained in some way around from that flow, or are they're essentially inside the building at that point, or in the playground in the back? just to pick up and drop off and all that stuff.
I know yeah, pick up and drop times. Off is a it is that that is a challenge because we're coming in, we're picking up or dropping off. The toddlers come at a slightly different yep. time. They'll park in this area and then have to cross, but presumably it'll be after the rush of
right.
I had a question. It's sort of building on the previous sort of comment about was it sort of courtyard or mm-hmm. sort of something that the elementary classrooms are around. And it seemed odd to me that your future classroom is the furthest removed from future construction access.
Mm.
And that if your first phase actually was if those were in the first phase, then the future phase, when they come back later to build another classroom, they've got really easy access to the road. I mean, even if you don't get that third driveway mm-hmm. now, you could probably get a construction access
mm-hmm.
Driveway for the period of building that classroom. Right. And then your campus would be more sort of contained.
Yes, I hear you. Here,
right away.
Because right. this and bleeds out.
Right, and yep. with that space. And then in the future, it would be so much easier to come in and add on to the west wing
mm-hmm.
of that. So that was the...
Especially if school were in session. The idea was to do as much as you can over the summer, but as
yeah,
you
no,
know,
I know,
it's
but,
only 3 months. And if you're right, you'd have to get into...
You've got to get all the way down. And, and the notion of having those... I mean, one of the nice things about the way you've got your site plan is you are forming this cloister.
Yeah.
You know, it's a cloister in the forest.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And just when you think about how the circulation might work between those buildings around that space, it looks like it is something that would really benefit from being developed as fully as possible to
right.
begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly as you think about how the footpaths or boardwalks,
right.
I'm not quite sure what the...
Yeah, footpaths.
How that would work.
And
then the other piece later, to the west.
Thanks, Alan.
That's a very logical point. Wasn't
because
it?
There's another... You're almost
yeah,
forming another cloister
right.
down here. As, what I was looking at was here. You're sort of getting this as a potential
yes.
courtyard space,
mm-hmm.
but you're also getting.
Mm-hmm.
So you're already with the buildings. You're already creating these outdoor rooms.
Right.
Between the buildings. And,
mm-hmm.
No,
I appreciate that. I think that's really.
Well,
nice.
Well, it seems like with Montessori's like a lot of independent schools. They're usually clustered in different buildings because that's the real estate that they buy
mm-hmm.
as opposed to wanting to build new in the same facility. I mean, you've got individual buildings that don't attach to each other, so you have to go outside to go into every other building rather than there being any internal circulation given weather patterns. And it seems like you could tighten up the buildings in a way that reduces construction costs and frees up more of the site area.
Potentially, but actually part of the program is to get the kids to go outside and experience that.
No, but having a building that connects so they can go from a classroom right into the multipurpose room. I mean, going outside to be active outside for scheduled and unscheduled times isn't the same thing as them going outside walking to another classroom.
It's a little bit like Highland Chuck. Mm-hmm. They've got a covered porch.
Oh, I understand, but Highland's like that because that's what the real estate was to start with. I mean, so I get the existing building, and you start with what you got, as opposed to the new construction, which doesn't necessarily have to keep creating assorted buildings on campus.
Well, they're trying. I think the idea is that you're talking about you're trying to put these buildings in a place where you don't have to take out the trees,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're putting your village in the places where it can tuck back in the woods.
That's right. That was a big driving force.
I think if over time they found out that maybe it'd be nice to have a covered way between them, it'd be very easy to do in this plan, just extend those things. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think it could be solved quite easily if it became an issue. If you want it to be more like a real cloister, or
so what was the driving logic of why they're distributed in that way? Was it to work with the topography and the vegetation, or
yes, and also programmatically that each one of these is its own separate classroom, but also fitting them amongst the trees and also just taking advantage of natural light. There are a lot of trees here, but the idea is to limb some of these up to let light in, and also bounce light in high into the spaces. So
with the clear stories?
Yes. So with the clear stories, so you get the sunlight kind of bouncing in and lighting the ceilings.
That's wonderful,
natural light.
Wouldn't they just come right through the? Wouldn't the sun just come right through the window?
Well, if you came, it would. We actually, I want to get some good overhangs here, so we can, you know, the higher sun isn't going to be as glary and penetrating. But also, this, what would happen, Jim, is you'd light this portion here, but then this would dark. So this comes in, hits the light-colored ceiling, and then just glows.
Actually, when I saw it, that's another thing I was going to comment about. Is a clear story, like in an art studio or something, is often on the north side because you don't get any glare, but you get light. And
from the north side, and here's our
and
our,
I know, so I, okay.
With the, from the north.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that one's tipped the other way.
The worst thing for a window is to have a glare concern for me. Mm-hmm.
And it's the contrast of dark and light,
so,
too.
Yeah, it's great.
That's why skylights, not on the north side. I mean, on the south side.
Yeah.
On the north side, they're okay, but not on the south.
I'm not even, but maybe I have a prejudice against them. But anyhow, so I noticed in your plan that you were having these clear stories facing south. I think that might be an issue, but, you know, you can do things about that.
But, you know, in so many of the daylighting techniques, and this is sort of not using a light shelf, but that lower roof becomes the light shelf, which does reflect.
You mean at the canopy?
Yeah.
Right, the light shelf, too, is a consideration, too.
So you could have louvers or something that would cut out the layer.
Right.
Okay.
We are going to run up against our lot coverage, and so the porches we're going to have to really look at how much covered porch we can
Be thought of umbrellas.
Yeah. There you go.
Building to building.
That's right. There we go.
Yeah.
And also still going to be quite back to the direct light issue. I mean, it's still going to be quite a bit of tree cover, too, so it's not like it's going to be wide open.
It'll be direct light.
I'm just a big fan of
north light.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
So does the porch count because it's covered? I mean,
yes, it's beyond 2 feet.
It's more than a certain depth.
They give you 2 feet of overhang, and then beyond that.
Is it a percentage or no? I mean, in other words, you have to count a percentage of that area or the whole area that's covered.
You can subtract 2 feet past the building footprint, and then after that, you have to start counting it.
Which it's really frustrating because the porches are a big part of. It's a big part of Hyla. I mean, Hyla, in a way, is an inspiration for some of this. But, and this is Megan Scott. She's head of school.
Hi. Did you sign in?
I
didn't.
Are we signing in?
What happened to you?
I thought
it was over there.
Yeah, sign in with you. In between your things.
Well, we did. Did we do introduction? We didn't do introduction, so I'm Russ Hamlet.
Brandon Tubb, work with Russ.
I'm Susan Bergen, I'm a landscape architect.
Peter Perry from the Design Review Board. Can you guys know Jane?
Come on, Jane.
Oh, I'm Jane. I'm the administrative specialist.
She's very special.
You're a landscape. Mm-hmm. Are you an architect?
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Designer.
It's nice to have the landscape
on board. We're missing that.
We're almost there. We haven't come up with that. We're
almost there. It's a nationwide search.
So these are going to be tree houses.
I'm Kia Miko. I'm landscape architect.
So Megan Scott, I'm head of school at Montessori Country School.
Alan Granger, chair of Design Review Board.
Jim McNett, DRB.
Chuck Depew with the DRB.
Okay.
So is there anything you can do to get the lot coverage adjusted?
Could you go up a story?
Could go up a story, but then there's the...
I was meaning anything more about how
the allowable lot coverage.
You know, whether you could have a lesser overhang on the opposite side of the building to where you're wanting to cover the porch.
1 foot, and then you get something.
I mean, I don't know how much the city would let you play around with that.
I'd love to pursue that
because the porches are important, really.
Yeah, because
they are. Section, it looks great.
Yeah.
I've got a question about that image with the tree coverage seems pretty dense.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying that the other illustration had all the is that all the significant trees that remain, the black dots?
Oh,
without seeing all the significant trees that there were.
So there was a tree survey done by Adam Goldsworthy of the existing site. There's no significant trees in this portion.
Yep.
But there are lots of significant trees to the east.
And do you have to meet one of those 40 tree unit kind of rules?
There will be all the
retention.
Yeah, okay. And what kind of setbacks do you have on the sides?
So there's a 20-foot required buffer for the conditional use, and that's a average of 20 feet and a minimum of 15 feet.
Yep.
So the existing school actually doesn't even meet the minimum. It's grandfathered in. But we'll have to adjust the buffer to average that.
And what kind of buffer is it? Is it
it's a full planted buffer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does the existing site condition just qualify for that?
Or? For the most part, it probably does.
Yeah, probably. Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, if it's so wooden treed, it seems like you've got your buffer.
It's pretty easy. To
But does that have to have the ground cover buffers and all that as well, besides just the tree units?
I believe so.
Do you... Did it bother you guys at all to have parking on the back side of that building, on the north?
Back side of the north side of the building. Yeah, you're always pinching inches. And but
to me, it's a dead. I mean, it might be very logical, but it's single loaded, and it dead ends, which are like two pains if you can avoid them. And if you push it back a little bit, you could open up that courtyard. I was just wondering if you could accommodate it now that you don't have three driveways. Somehow you could do something clever in front and get cars in there so you don't have to park
in front of the building.
But I know that might be real pie in the sky, but it seems like that would open up that court a little bit, do some things for you. But
that plan allows for a drop off.
Yeah.
But, you know, because that driveway...
That's kind of staff parking back there, right? That's staff parking.
To me, it's just if you can avoid it, but maybe I'm the only one in the room that cares about those things.
I think in a way, though, it would create a sea of paving and parking in the front if we did that. I mean, in a way, this kind of disperses it and sort of minimizes it a little bit. But I think you could look at it both ways.
Is there any fire access issues too? I mean, that thing could be, you know, they could get deeper into the buildings on the back if they go in there or something.
Yeah. Well, we'll
probably don't have any issues.
If put it at Hartman's comments with the prehab, so we'll see how he feels about it.
The stalls are coming right up to the edge of the building.
No, there's 5 feet.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
that
overhang.
It's showing the overhang.
Okay. 5 or 6 feet.
Just before we got off that parking lot, I just want to ask another question. You know how when you go to Allenwood and you get that feeling you've got some forest in between all those parking lots? Is that pretty much what you're going for there, leaving those trees?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the other cool thing. You can kind of, if you can keep driving around, you can have drop-offs and stuff, and then you can have your parking in the trees and then just get out and dock without having to go around the corner and park behind. But maybe it's one of those things that you just can't do on the site plan.
Yeah, we've looked at that. Yeah. I mean, I love how you can, at Islandwood, parking in
the trees
and all. And that's the idea of some of this here.
Seems Islandwoody to me.
Yeah.
But it
seems like if you only have two access points, I mean, which are your two? I mean, if you went to the two extremes, you could just do a simple loop and organize the traffic in a much better way to be more efficient and get your parking away from the buildings.
And they could still accommodate the trees. There might be enough space, but...
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, in a way, you got your drop-off issue, which I understand people want to be able to drop off kids right there. But when you have... You know, but by moving the parking into the site, even if you meander it, it's still parking. I mean, it's the way it is. So if that was a more, if this was just an easier loop through, and you had that lane double loaded with angle parking, you could get your parking there, probably not use as much land. It wouldn't look cool because you wouldn't have these little parking bays scattered around.
We pretty much should have looked at that scheme, and so we're gonna. I'll probably see something like that next time.
Yeah.
How much of that is existing parking and driveway?
It's hard to see. We've got the dash lines, what's existing. So this scheme tries to take advantage of that, what's existing now. Versus.
It's kind of cool now. I mean, you kind of meander through it. And
there,
like it.
Yeah. Well, we are, Chuck, we are what you suggested. We actually have another scheme.
I mean, it seems like the trees become kind of your parking bays. You know, you can have space in between trees and still park between the trees and keep them there. That slows cars down as well, so you don't have to have, you know, a lot of paving. But it seems like it organizes things. It pulls it from back behind there. Because it just seems like if you're going to only get two access points, it seems like you're going to want the two ends as opposed to the middle one.
Yeah, potentially. Look,
and isn't it nice to, in a classroom, to have, like, you know, nature on both sides rather than nature on one side and the parking lot on the other?
You don't like
that. Are you getting that?
I don't think we're going to get that for you.
Okay.
Would you be able to put some berms and things between that play area and the parking, just to kind of obscure it a bit?
So garbage, and we can. I'm glad Megan's here for this, because I believe it's one can and one recycled toter a week.
Sweet.
Yeah, they are really good.
Stuff out and composting.
Plates and dishes and not paper.
But currently it's down here, right, Megan?
Yeah, currently it's right up against the building, and we wheel it down every day. I mean, every Tuesday.
Okay. So it may be more centrally located. We will have to address that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say that I like the kind of organic site plan, and then up at the top with the parking, again, it's not that kind of organic feeling. It's that kind of straight line. I agree that maybe if you could do something different to make it look a little bit more like...
We can definitely consider that. The thought is... Jim won't like this, but this is the north side, yes. So we're kind of saying, okay.
The hell with the north.
No, they're actually saying this is the north side. It's an area where the significant trees were cut a number of years ago, so it's the place where they can get the most efficient parking with the least amount of paving.
It's not efficient, single loaded. Sorry.
Most efficient single-loading park.
Yes, thank you. Most efficient
okay.
single-loading park. Yeah.
You made a strong argument.
And then what's the topography slope issues that you have to worry about there? You've got a lot of open area.
You know what the slope issue is? Is we have a crown right about here. And so our stormwater, we're hoping we can get a lot of that stormwater down here. Mm-hmm. But we have stormwater that naturally flows this way, and mm-hmm. we have to take care of that. The soils aren't very good here. So one, a big elephant in the room with this site plan is what's going to be required for our stormwater retention. So Brown Engineering is going to be looking at that. There was an original scheme for this that was done before it was done 2010 or 12. Anyhow, previous scheme that had a huge stormwater retention pond, the type of thing we put a chain link fence around. We don't want to go there, but we'll have to do something, which means trees are vulnerable and things. So we think creatively and this with that.
And that was taking nothing down to the bay.
Yeah, nothing to the bay.
So it's a lot different than that now.
And I'm assuming you are required to have a buffer up against our point.
Yeah,
25
feet.
Well, we know 25 feet is nothing in terms of a buffer. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering how much you could move it right up to that 25 foot.
Mm-hmm. Or if there's any.
Move what? The stormwater?
Your stormwater. So like across from where your bus drop off is, that you could get some kind of swale that's sort of running.
What's that?
There's like mm-hmm. north, south.
That's
along
big.
That.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because it could be an educational, mm-hmm. based on
feature,
the plants that
right.
went into it.
Right.
It could be
like a rain garden.
Instructional mm-hmm. Location.
But it's just the fact you got to fence it that makes it a little ugly.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we don't go there.
Hopefully not.
That was a
green. I was just listening to Helen's point that actually seems like it's kind of a great thing, but, I mean, you could make it.
Yeah, right.
Really
and
great.
That's what we'll do our best to do that.
Yeah.
With that. But we will probably
but they're expensive
have to deal
to do
with
those really well.
But it's worth it if we've got to do something.
And then do you have to catch and filter the on the other side? It can't just flow directly into Manzanita Bay without being captured.
Yes, we.
I think if it depends on how it's divided, but the vehicular stormwater definitely has to be treated. But roof stormwater doesn't always have to be. So it depends on how it's routed.
Huh. Yeah. So we might have to treat this.
But yeah, I mean, if so, there will definitely be some treatment involved. If it
right.
has to be.
Yeah, I don't
just
no, I think roof water does.
Not always.
Here or just in general? I mean,
well, in the
city
of Bainbridge.
City of Bainbridge.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
I mean,
that's why we've got civil engineers to figure that stuff out. Yeah. So I mean, exactly how that works out, I don't know. It depends probably on the thresholds or areas.
Is there any interaction with an asphalt roof and water, technically? I mean, can you drink the water coming off an asphalt roof?
No. There's what are the nasty things in there, like PCBs?
So you can't.
It's basically all the tar. I mean,
right. Just Australia, we don't have any. There, it's all metal roof or tile, and that's it. That's all you have. So you can always capture your roof water for everything. Mm-hmm. You have to, actually. It's that's the rule.
Rule. So, does anybody know the design guidelines we need to address? It's the overall, right? The commercial and mixed use design guidelines for all zoning districts. I assume that's it, right?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Is there another one?
Sounds good. There are no special
yeah, right.
design guidelines.
I didn't think so.
Yeah. Or, or if it's a conditional use permit, there's no, it doesn't kick it into any category or nothing.
Not to my knowledge. You'll find that out at your pre-app.
And it doesn't change the buffers on the buffer to residential between that zoning and residential zoning around it. Is that just...
That's just based on it being conditional use
permit.
So what is the conditional use permit for?
A commercial
the actual
use, in
use
a residential zone.
As a school?
Yes. Yes, in a residential zone. So it's zoned R2. And there's an existing conditional use now, but be modifying that or...
Do they build play structures in Montessori schools, or do they play differently? Is there going to be one in there somewhere?
There is one currently.
Oh, that's hilarious.
There's several here as well as some.
You're pretty creative.
Yeah, really.
I would imagine they would be.
We just send the kids out to climb the tree.
Are there seats carved out of stumps? And
are there any educational
really magical
aspects to the buildings and, you know, for the students who go there? Like,
yeah,
you know, something like Islandwood, where the buildings kind of explain themselves in some ways. Are you planning on anything like that? Just out of curiosity.
Definitely.
Because this seems like a great project.
Natural light. Because of budgets and things, but also because of the way Montessori philosophy is, the design concept is to keep these really simple buildings on the inside and act as a canvas for the educational tools. So, but Jim, I mean, that's what makes architecture magical, is what you're saying, is that it responds to what the purpose of the building is. Hopefully.
And this is kind of a high purpose compared to many things we see.
So any ideas?
We got a great start.
Thanks.
Thanks for bringing so much information to a pre. This is really helpful.
Well, thanks, and it's good
to get
feedback.
Date us a little bit on the thoughts of the two access points versus three, where what direction that's going in.
Utilizing your idea of
could just update. So the. This is hard to see here, but we have currently there's one one-way entry here off of Arrow Point, and then drop off, and then a one-way exit onto Arrow Point. So the thought is now potentially doing a loop here and out, and then a loop through here with a loop, internal loop, and out. So this, and this would be a two-way in and out there. With parking, angled parking along the perimeter.
So one way in, and in and out at the other?
Yes.
There's almost no way to lay it out without the traffic crossing each other at some point because of the pickup and entry orientation, because you want it on the right side.
Picture's worth a thousand words.
I just think that you're gonna, by trying to maintain that middle entry as the other exit point or entrance point, you're gonna create traffic.
Well, I guess
conflicts
there. The other option is to just do one loop all the way through, like you were saying, in and then out. But that means anybody that's dropping off somebody right here has to go all the way through, or somebody that has to park here has to come all the way through, which maybe isn't a bad thing. It's not that long, but I think it's also partly you want a little bit of separation of those two areas and those two functions, because they do happen at slightly different times.
Yeah, I just think the more you have people turning around, if you introduce a loop, that's going to take more land area. To provide for all the clearances of cars that might do that, you start creating traffic and coming from two different directions in there. I mean, you're just going to have issues. I mean, rather than, you know, those conflicts, you know, don't outweigh having a longer, you know, loop driveway. I don't think people would notice.
But you might have more congestion the other way, though. If it was just one single loop, you got to get one person backing out. It's gonna back everybody up.
You're going to have that anyway.
I guess so. Yeah, maybe. I guess we'll see. We can look at
that. I think it's looking at the best scheme with the minimizing those.
Your current scheme has a problem with north being entrance only, because it puts anyone being dropped off on the wrong side of the road.
Yeah, you've got to do that.
Yeah.
You know, so if people are coming in there, the driver's on the drop-off side as opposed to the passenger doors being on the drop-off side.
Right.
So that at least, that portion would seem to want to be reversed, the loop there.
Yeah, so the other scheme that we've looked at, the current one that we're kind of thinking of, is it does correct that at least, and puts it into two entrances or two access points. But I think no matter what, you're going to have some crossing of traffic, even if you, except for the scheme where it's just one single loop all the way through. But we'll take a look at that too.
Yeah, so come in. And then you have, the crossing here, but then this comes in, and there's a loop here with access to this parking, and then back out. So, out and in.
And why are you not wanting, or is it the city that's not wanting the third access point?
They all usually only want one. They have to approve two, or anything more than one.
But we'll see that pre-app, we're going to ask these.
Well, it seems like the three makes a huge amount of sense to me and avoids you having to do these turnarounds, which consumes more site. And it seems like if you could just reverse the traffic flow on your top
one,
on your north section, then you've got a very good rationale for the two age groups sort of being served from the different points.
So this being out here.
Yeah, that wants to be out. So
and then that's an in and out. And
yeah. Right.
And then, but that also, it's still, you've got traffic crossing in that case, too. So.
Do you have to have the double driveways going through there, one for the parking and one just for drop-off?
Oh, this area here?
Yeah, can you just eliminate the one that's just the drive-through?
The scheme, the next scheme we're taking a look at is just taking out the parking in the middle area and putting it around the driveway.
Mm-hmm. 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 I mean, I don't know if you can, but if there's no buses pulling up and large traffic.
Mm-hmm. But if you're two buildings there shifted to the east, you could put all that parking along.
You mean the one on top? Yeah, exactly.
And not have parking back there at all, and keep all your parking off the access road.
Yeah. You mean here in this area?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could move the building. Yeah. Can move back to the corner.
Yeah, because the more you try and, you know, I think you want your buildings to be clustered. You don't want the traffic congestion interfering with how the buildings interact. I think you do have to separate out a drop-off versus the parking areas, because people are going to, I mean, they're two different people. You know, and people that are dropping off want to drop off close to where they're. And they're going to do that no matter what. We've seen that in every school that we've built on the island. Mm-hmm. People are just going to do that. So I think you're going to have a bifurcated one route that's really going through the site that's trying to accommodate your parking while you're adding this loop for the drop-offs for people who are going to want to continue to do that drop-off. But I think the more you concentrate that on, you know, the western edge of the site, you know, you can bury it in the trees a little bit, you can meander it through the trees a little bit, but at least you're not bringing it into the site in a way that creates a little bit more confusion.
Yeah, the other way to look at this is, though, you don't see that parking compared to if it was right here, you know, you see a lot.
No, but that land, that site area next to the school buildings is much more valuable for school and use of students than to park it. But your setback area, adjacent to your setback, that has very little value. The land value has very little value. It doesn't benefit the school. So if you're gonna dominate it for parking, you might as well move the parking to the area of the site that is of the least value to me.
Yeah, I guess. And then it kind of depends on where the focus of the where the value is, and you know, the value is these kind of landscaped areas where the kids are going to be concentrated. You know, those spaces are going to be enjoyed.
Yeah. I think when you come up with your stormwater system,
I might drive some.
There's going to be another valuable land component in order to get those systems with sufficient land for area to get them a functioning system. So I think once you know the size of what that swale or I'm calling it a swale rather than a pond, because we can do it without fences.
But you wouldn't dare with little kids that are preschool, would you?
But a swale should.
Oh, you mean a swale in the sense that it just is not holding water? Directly.
What a little,
Well, like you probably have some water in a worse storm condition before it percolates.
Mm-hmm. And the kids a bit orient this way.
Yeah.
So, you don't want the kids
to. And some of them get out.
Right. Yeah.
And the use and the square footage doesn't trigger city street standards. You still have some flexibility to try and keep them somewhat lane oriented in terms of your access roads. I mean, as opposed to 30 feet wide and.
The minimum's 24 if it's two way and 12 feet.
12 feet is
pretty much for the fire truck access. Yeah. So I think they would still have to meet the standards, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think we'd be exempt from that.
And how would you sign those from the street? Just sort of in terms of. If there were three signs in a row, how would you sign that? You know, no entry, entry, no entry.
We probably are only allowed one sign.
Yeah.
And then, and I guess the confusion would only be for a visitor, so parents get the knack of it pretty quick.
Do you feel Islandwood works all right?
Yeah. Oh, it works great. They have a lot more.
I know they have more land and all that stuff. Yeah. But
sounds like it was whining.
It actually is not easy to understand when you arrive there for the first time.
But that's kind of true. That's true. But that's true with so many things.
Yeah. But these are regular users. Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say. These are regular users, so you learn your pattern right away.
Yeah. But, you know, they have, in a way, a parallel system. And then in the middle of it, there's you can bail out and then walk right into the entry.
Yeah.
So you have two wings, right? Mm-hmm. So you have your drop-off thing, and then you have your double-loaded thing that's kind of woven in among the trees. And you have one end, and there I guess you have to go back, but in this case you could just go in and go up. So it seems like, and then you move that building over.
Take that north parking,
But
yeah,
I know, that's what these pre things are for. They're so much fun.
Oh, no, it's great. This is great.
You know what? After you've had your pre-app tomorrow, you're going to have all these overlays of fire access, the stormwater, the vehicle access, and you're going to go put them over the top of your trees and go, where do the buildings go?
Exactly. And we have a well right here that requires 25 feet, unless we get a waiver, and so there's all kinds of.
Oh.
Yeah. Buildings will be down.
And the well has more than enough capacity for the growth?
We believe so, but that's being researched.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't have to sprinkler these buildings on wood.
Really?
Because? Under 50... that's another reason.
Oh, occupancy
separate. Yeah.
Occupancy pit under occupancy.
Yeah, I mean, this actually, if you look just strictly at the building code, this would be the only one that should be required in the first place. These are all small enough to not need them. I mean, it's up to the fire marshal in any case, but.
So even though it's a school, it's still based on the square footage of the building?
and the triggers.
Yeah. That seems reasonable, though.
You can get out so fast with these little things. So two exits. It's not that much.
Kids can run fast.
Yeah, they're gonna be outside most of the time anyway.
It's contentious.
Yeah, put that in the code. You have to have fast kids.
Fast kids, you don't have to sprinkler.
That'd be awesome.
So we'll have to have a traffic study done as part of this.
So have we seen all the drawings that you had on your flip chart?
There might be one here, but this is just. These are just sample elevations, sections. Different scale here. Mm-hmm. And it'll evolve, no doubt.
I'm sorry, your drain fields, one of those is for the adjacent home, and one is for this facility.
Oh, did you see two?
Yeah. Well, sure. One was potential and one was
reserve area.
One's existing, one's potential.
Yes.
Isn't that just what you have to do nowadays?
Well, you have to have 100% reserve designated usually. Yeah, but this is the existing one for the existing school. This is, we're just saying, this is the potential drain field for the expansion. But
so
it might be this plus 100% reserve somewhere.
Yeah. Oh,
that's what that back area was, right?
Right. Yeah.
That one. Oh,
this one here. Yep. Here's the reserve.
Yeah.
This area plateaus.
Do you have the opportunity to build in the back? Out of curiosity. You do, don't you?
Where?
Potentially back.
On the slope.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you said you had an access easement down to the bay?
Yes, utility access easement.
Not a...
Oh.
Not for the kids to walk down and get their seashells.
I know.
They can just go right over to Battle Point. It's so great that way.
It is nice to have Battle Point right there.
No, and it's too bad you couldn't use some of that parking.
Mm-hmm. Some of it does get used.
We didn't hear that.
So it's going to be underparked then.
Yeah, right. So there's an existing path connection that will maintain.
So how many more parking spaces do you have than you need to have? Because when you said you are over.
What do we have? We have 26 plus two handicap required handicap parking. And
I think
we're required 150. So if we said 50, so three, and then how many staff?
That's 21.
So we have 16 staff.
16 plus 3, I'd say 19.
So how many kids would be here?
Would be required.
Oh, 13 would be required.
How many kids were talking about?
130.
That's
quite
a good size.
So how many extras did you have, like? 10 or 10 extra spaces?
5, 6.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think that we did have 10, though. We have the 26 because of the staff members, and then 10 extra because we have to have parents on campus for any children who are under 30 months.
Right.
So they have to be there by the time their children are on campus.
Do they have to park right there?
They don't have to, no.
Okay. Who's it? Charge of the parks parking out of Kiros. Is that their own thing? The city doesn't regulate that at all, right?
No, I think it's the parks department.
Just the nit that I always have is the crosshatch handicap space right there by the existing building. How does that space function?
Actually, this one's going away.
this one's going away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because we're required at two.
Right, but you won't have one next to the existing school?
No.
So if someone's dropping off...
Well, this...
There's no loading space for that. Other than that one there.
This one.
Well, we were thinking about still keeping that space, right? Just getting it all together.
Well, there's no sidewalk adjacent to it, right?
I guess we don't need it.
So if that's a handicapped person... If they had a van that pulled in, is there a sidewalk adjacent to it that would give them a clean, dry route to the building on the right-hand side? Because handicapped people go out on the right-hand side of their cars.
Yeah, mostly. Left-hand side. Well, right. But we're not required to have a van parking space, you know.
Right, but either way, even if somebody who's going to get out of the car and get into a wheelchair, that's all going to be on the right-hand side of the car.
Possibly.
So if that's not some hardscape, how would I mean it?
So say you come. Well, you come in here. You get off onto here and go.
So the crosshatch isn't the space itself.
No. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
That's the hardscape.
Okay, I thought that was the parking space. Okay.
I have a question about how many kids are there.
That is a point, though, of keeping a handicap there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's already there.
How many kids are there now, and then how many are you going to have? 136, but you have how many kids now?
Right.
About 50, maybe?
There are 60 in the morning. 60,
okay.
And then a large number of them go home.
Okay. I'm thinking of traffic and... single-family neighborhood, right? Mm-hmm. With the park across the street, do you have neighbors, any single-family neighbors directly adjacent to these? I mean, I know the lot. I mean, I know the area. You get a lot of traffic from that point.
There's a house down here.
So there's a house and a driveway here. And then this driveway, there's a house in this area. And then there's several driveways coming.
And then battle points across the way.
Battle points across the way, and then there's a big curve here, so there's no driveways until this one. Part of it is there is a need to have
standards.
Well, yes. So areas for queuing up for drop off and pick up, because it becomes an issue if the cars are parked along Aeropoint.
Yes, right.
Wait.
And then there's the curve.
And most of the expansion is in the older age kids moving here from Boise?
Yes, we're increasing by one preschool classroom.
Okay.
But actually, it's not that much of an increase of students, because what we're doing is taking a session that now is in the afternoon and allowing it to be in the morning. So we'd have three morning sessions instead of two morning and one afternoon. So, but it would increase that traffic part of it.
Okay.
But yes, the majority of the additional cars and additional children are all in the elementary.
And I'm just always amazed at how many people that don't carpool. I mean, it's, you got 136 kids, as long as you can have 136 cars, they come through. Mm-hmm. I mean, even looking at the other school, it just kind of shocks me at times. That site's going to get very busy very quickly once you overlook the engineering issues.
Do the afternoon pre-primary let out at the same time as the afternoon primary?
Yes, you mean the preschool elementary?
Yeah.
Yeah. They would now. They don't. Now, we're on two campuses, our schedules don't coordinate that well. And for families who are driving to both campuses now, that's a difficulty. So one of the hopes of a combined campus is to kind of shorten that wait time that those families do. But yes, the afternoon, for now, the elementary gets out a little earlier than the primary, but we would make them be closer to the same time and bring those siblings together, mm-hmm. so that there's a place where siblings would always be picked up together.
In the pre-primary, where the parents stay.
In the very youngest, the pre-primary, in the morning only.
Okay. So those are the people that are coming and parking and bringing their kids.
Right.
Okay.
So I need to ask a dumb question. So why are they there if the parent stays? Why aren't they at home?
Because we are not a licensed child care facility.
I know, but why does someone bring their child here and then stay with their child?
They don't. They stay upstairs in a different space and let their child be downstairs in the classroom with other children.
Right. What do they do up there?
Coffee,
they do, and they are, most of them are on their laptops, working or reading or knitting or visiting. And it actually has turned out to be, when this first happened to us because of our licensing, we thought people were going to pull their kids out. I'm not going to do that if I had to sit. But as it has turned out, they've formed friendships and strong bonds sitting there. There are a lot of families who met in that room and still.
I thought you were going to say jazzercise.
So it's a shared workspace in a way.
Pardon me?
It's a shared workspace in a way.
Yeah.
Plus, they might have to drive back to the other end.
Yeah, that session is only 2 hours long.
Uh-huh. Can you get a latte in there?
Actually, we had a dad once who brought his machine every Friday and made them.
Yeah, so that, I that was perfect.
Except that he blew all our circuits, so we had to
change. We don't have new buildings.
So yeah.
We
yeah.
new powers. Make sure there's an espresso machine in the budget.
Okay.
So does anyone have any other comments or questions? Or do you want to, would like to give us a summary of your schedule now? You said you got your pre-op tomorrow.
So pre-op tomorrow, and then we'll digest that and feedback from you. Thank you. And then, so I'm thinking, potentially, that December 21st, DRB.
No, I'm going to be here.
Is that, do you think that's viable? Are you going to be here for
us? Are you for us having a meeting on that day? Or will
yes.
I see you getting your act together?
Right.
I think it's more up to you than it is to us.
Yeah,
okay,
really.
But you think that close
yeah, but
to
there's,
Christmas,
if there,
you're
if there's
not
something
traveling to Europe? Or
I believe that, we've already got first meeting in November spoken for. Mm-hmm. And, let's see. Sorry, I've just got to look at my calendar, but
probably it would be better if the first meeting in December, if you were able to meet that meeting, just in case, but I don't know.
Yeah.
So we've got a meeting on the 2nd of November and then the 16th of November.
You guys meet every week.
Oh, wait.
It's every 2 weeks.
It's the 1st and 3rd, Monday the 1st.
Oh,
so
it would be the 16th.
Not the 21st.
So we have a meeting on the 16th of November. And then we have a meeting on the 7th and the 21st.
Of December. So it is the 21st.
Of December.
Oh, yeah. 21st.
Those are both meetings.
Possibly. The 1st. 7th.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing
take
you back.
I normally take Pearl Harbor Day off, but
yeah,
I'll make an exception.
but is it? You're going to be here around Christmas if it was the 21st. I just know how that goes.
We're not men of leisure. We're all fair and women. We're all working very hard. It's not a day's off to us.
So then we'd have a public meeting after that, and we're thinking that would be after the first of the year. And then, and these are dates I just kind of threw out.
Yeah.
And then, so then the public meeting, say January 5th, and then February 2nd,
potentially would be the
final,
the submittal for the site plan.
Site plan, okay.
And CEP, and then so March 7th, I have tagged for the DRB.
All right.
For the
so,
site plan.
I mean, you know, we if we have a quorum, we will meet you on whatever day.
Okay.
You plan.
So the.
I mean, no one's going to.
I don't know. I think the 21st may be optimistic,
right?
In that what I really want to have is like we wanted is to have a full package for the pre-application meeting, and then the next meeting's more okay. You tweak this.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's how we. Yeah.
That's great.
So we'll assume the 21st then.
Okay.
But if you want to come a week early,
okay.
Or 2 weeks early.
2 weeks early.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll be here.
Okay.
And you also thank you for being so well prepared. This is
absolutely
just fantastic for us. Too.
Thanks.
And then we're excited that Brandon might actually be a member.
Watch out. You know that one you just signed?
Yeah, really. Did it say potential member?
It does. Put a little star there.
It has a little roster there.
Okay.
All right,
thank you.
Great.
Thanks.
Thank you. You've
been offline. Yeah, well, I haven't really gotten started yet. Next time.
Yeah, okay.
So we one more.
You missing?
And I'll just say that the Rolling Bay project
is
potentially coming.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
After the first of the year, that's
where we can start.
Cool.
Maybe
February.
Is it essentially the same?
I'm too sorry for her.
Pretty much. Oh, well, you know, she brought up to me.
Yeah.
That's great.
Cool. Oh, watch it.
I'd like to hear it.
He's having a good time?
He just loved it.
Okay. And you?
No. Oh, we didn't. No, it's in the same.
So under... So under old and new business, I just wanted to bring up that, and I was a little concerned about Nan arranging the next meeting and incorporating a site visit into the next meeting when the design review board have always taken it upon themselves that they want to go and visit a site. They go and visit a site ahead of the meeting. And I felt that it is a little bit of a difficult precedent for to be established that part of our meetings will be going to visit sites. And I know it's convenient, but it doesn't seem like we all need as a group to go down to the site with the city and the city staff and the applicant when we can go ahead of time and everyone knows all the ins and outs of what we're talking about. And so I wanted to just get a consensus from you guys as to whether you had the same concern about, you know, the next applicant that comes in and says, well, we want the design review board all to come to our site.
No,
as part of the meeting.
I think maybe something like GROW could have been worthy of something like that, but I feel this is almost too cozy, and I agree with you 100%. Not that I haven't already been to the site and looked at. Yeah, and the presentations of this quality, I'm not quite sure, you know, this is so well presented. I'd rather see people do a better job presenting to us than us presenting ourselves to them. And well, it is convenient, and I'm sure it'll have a good presentation too.
Yeah.
It'll be clear. So I'm with you 100% on that.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't have a real aversion to doing site visits. I mean, I understand what you're saying. We usually go see the sites on our own. If our meeting structure had site visits I really wouldn't care. I mean, that one, it didn't surprise me because he's been very high maintenance anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly he was trying to manage the conversation. That's why I wasn't sure if there was a real application pending yet either. So it seemed a little premature because I wasn't sure if there was even an application.
Well, I'm assuming that wherever in a pre-app or... do you know, are we in a pre-app for that next agenda item? Another pre-app, I guess.
You know, I'm not certain. I would have to check on that.
Yeah.
But either way, I would... rather we treat people more equally and not start to create special site visits.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's been, like you said, there's been some other occasions where it would probably benefit from us having a site visit. But we have such a limited time in our meetings if we start to, you know, add site visits
and transportation.
And I think
we looked at this a lot, actually. This overlay thing quite a bit. So,
if we have better information at our meetings with better aerials and other kinds of documents, there's less of a need for a site visit, other than unique circumstances and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't have an aversion. You know, if people don't really want to, you know, whether this becomes the start of something or we don't want to start something, I don't have a hard opinion one way or the other.
Okay.
Well, you know, if there's something special, then bring a model, bring a video. You know, why do we have to go there? Because I can read a contour map, you can read a contour map.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can see an overhead of vegetation. I don't know what you gain, unless it's a special circumstance.
Well, we can also, we have the ability to go to each and every one of these sites, too.
Yeah.
Which is, you know,
sort of do just out of curiosity.
If we feel it'd be interesting to go check it out, then we should do it.
Well, I felt like from a public participation point of view, if a DRB is going en masse to a site with the applicant and with the city staff, we are maintaining a quorum that whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're actually at a site, I mean, I've been on so many site visits, it's very difficult to all be part of the same conversation, which is sort of the rules of how our meetings are supposed to work. And if we are out at a site and Peter and I are over here looking at this and you guys are over there looking at something else, it becomes and then Charles Schmidt is along for the ride.
Well, it's much harder to create a public record over how that visit occurs in the conversation.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, Jane would have to be there with the laptop and the little speaker.
And it could be raining. God knows.
And it could be raining. So I'm advocating that we do not include a site visit in our November 2nd meeting.
And would you like that? Is that a motion?
If you think we need a motion,
sure.
Sure, let's have a motion.
Okay, good.
I'll second that motion.
All right. Okay, do we have a vote on that?
All in favor? He moved.
He moved. I moved.
And
so
you
I'll second it.
Okay.
Okay.
Could I call for a vote?
I vote that we do not go.
Thank you, Jane. And unless anyone
before
else has any
one question
business?
I have, procedure-wise, I don't know how this fits in here, but it dawned on me when they were just saying that if we're going to be scheduling a pre-application meeting and there's going to be a public workshop or a public meeting here at the same time, it seems to me I would much rather have our discussion happen after that public meeting. So then the city staff who are supposed to be coming to us with a briefing, at least have that information. If it doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen. But if the two are happening similar-wise, it seems to me us having our conversation afterwards just gives us much more information.
Isn't that what's happening?
I'm sorry, in what condition?
Well, in this context, it would be nice to hear public comment when they go talk to neighbors and stuff.
Yeah.
The way it is now, we would have our pre-app meeting before that meeting.
No, I think
there. We wouldn't hear anything until the final in March.
No, and this one is going to be, they're going to do their pre-app, then they go to the public, then they come to
our
pre-app.
But they're going to come to us in December. Their public meeting is going to be in January, and then it would come to us as the final in March. So the public meeting that they're going to have is after our pre-app meeting.
Oh, I didn't understand. I didn't hear it that way. I thought they were going to.
Yeah, it's after our pre-app meeting, but it's.
Oh, okay.
Also after the city's pre-app meeting.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's right. So it's just a timing issue, and maybe one of those things we talk with city staff. We don't control when
a public meeting
might happen. But if we weren't going to meet on the 21st, we would be meeting in January, and it would be around the same time. And it seems like if we had our druthers, we'd rather.
It'd be nice to have a list
of
public comments.
No, we'd rather meet before. The public meeting is only because of the conditional use permit.
Right. Well, projects at a certain size, they'll have the city will suggest that they have a community meeting. So there's lots of projects that have community meetings, not just conditional use projects. But the scheduling of the scheduling of our reviews, with however they may or may not be proximate to those public meetings, it just seems to me if the timing is close, we'd rather err on having our review after that public meeting so we can have that information as part of our.
I would concur because we haven't heard anything from the neighbors and they want to change the
driveways and all
right.
That.
Yeah, that sounds like a nightmare there because that's a busy.
Yeah, so right. I'd like to hear from the neighbors, and then maybe there's a way to address their concerns in the design of it in some way.
Well, there's times I think people see us as the narrow, what are the guidelines that I have to worry about, versus some of the broader issues of site planning that we like to wage in on. And we don't have to be the arbiters of everything, but having access to public comment as part of our review would be useful if it can be. It shouldn't slow down the schedule and the process. But
when do they go for public meeting typically for the city? Is it right after they do have their pre-app?
Well, that's what I was going to suggest. Perhaps Jane could talk to Sean, who's being assigned as the planner, and ask him, is there a city requirement about when?
Which one?
No, Scott's
going to handle it.
Scott.
Yes.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Thank you. whether there is a requirement that we go through the pre-app process before there is a public meeting, or whether those can be switched. Because that would just take care of it. Because if it can be switched, if we can come second and we get the benefit of the minutes
comments.
Of the public meeting.
Yeah, exactly. And we've had those before, actually.
How do you go? That's why the two aren't in sync with each other.
Every now and then.
Wisconsin, the public meeting was well before the pre-app meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have to request the minutes so that you actually had them at our meeting? How do you get those?
Well, technically the staff create minutes of those meetings, so it's in their record, but we don't get a copy of the staff record.
Mm-hmm. So that's good.
We only get the application and the materials related to our application. So
okay.
So I would expect it to be part of the staff report because they have that information. I think the key is the timing of our meetings has nothing to do with when those public meetings might be scheduled one way or the other.
Okay. So Jane will take care of that too.
Thanks, Jane.
Thank you,
Jane.
She's a processing.
Doesn't she do?
Okay, do I hear a motion for adjournment, or is there anything else?
I would like to motion that we would adjourn, please.
Thank you.
Second.
All in favor?
I wasn't there for Roost, but I just, not Roost, I mean the barn. I went to the barn open house yesterday. Have you been in that little building?
Which is the barn?
At Rolling Bay, they're going to build somewhere else they're going to build a big barn, but at Rolling Bay they have a little barn.
Yeah.
And I was there yesterday and I walked in